Successful aging is a concept that was introduced back in the 1990s by researchers from the University of Michigan, and it was in response to the previous decades of research into aging that had focused very much on disease and disability and losses that are associated with aging.
The
and
negatives of aging, if
exactly,
you like.
Yeah. And since then, we've still, while acknowledging that aging does come with losses and challenges, that it also comes with opportunities for growth and gains. And the successful aging concept, in its origins, focused on avoiding disease and disability, maximizing physical health and cognitive health, and importantly, also remaining engaged with life. They were the three original components of the successful aging model from Rowan Kahn. But more recently, various scholars have identified a lot of other attributes and processes that they think are important for aging successfully. And some of the theories that I think are very interesting and very applicable focus on how people self-regulate their behaviour. So that is how they manage their lives in ways that enable them to make the most of opportunities for gains in life and that minimise the prospect of experiencing losses.
Excellent. And, of course, that can happen at any stage in life, can't it?
Absolutely.
But there are probably some fairly important transition points as people age. So where would you see those transition points? Is retirement one of those, for example?
Most definitely. Some people adapt very well to retirement. They plan ahead. They are able to maintain activities in their life that provide fulfillment, perhaps as alternatives to where they gained a sense of purpose and competence in the working world. Other people struggle a lot more with retirement and find it to be a very difficult transition. So it's these ways that people manage their goals and their behaviour that we're particularly interested in looking at as indicators of how people age well.
Thank you. That actually makes a lot of sense. It really does, because when people are in a working environment or bringing up a family or whatever they're doing in sort of mid-age, they have a sense of purpose. They have a sense of perceived control over what they're doing. And, of course, as we know, in a work environment, it's also a huge part of your social networks. So those three are the really important factors: the sense of purpose, the perceived control, and the social activity. Have I got that right?
There are three that we're particularly interested in. There are other factors that are also involved under the broader ideas about how people manage goals in their life. So we're interested in how people are able to best use their resources that are available to them, whether that's financial resources, energy, social networks, education, how people are able to use those resources effectively to pursue goals that are going to be rewarding to them and intrinsically motivating to them, but also how they're able to disengage from goals that are no longer achievable or no longer providing value for investment. So it's that balance of engaging and disengaging in a flexible and effective way that we think is likely to be really important for managing processes around aging well. When we think about disengagement in the context of self-regulation, we're thinking more about how people might step back from activity that once might have been highly valued, but because of emerging losses or constraints is no longer achievable, but then to re-engage with compensatory activity that could fulfill those goals. So if we think about that in the context of travel, what that might mean is that where someone has previously pursued goals around international travel and found great reward and satisfaction in doing that, perhaps due to a decline in health or difficulty in getting insurance or
it can becoming, get very expensive.
Yep, yeah, being cost prohibitive. It means that people would need to disengage from those more expensive, resource-intensive travel options, but then re-engage with something more affordable or more achievable. So it's that ongoing process of maintaining engagement through knowing when to disengage from unattainable goals and when to re-engage with alternative attainable ones.
It fits. I think I mentioned in one of the earlier programs of a wonderful man I interviewed who said that the cost of the travel insurance was the same as a first-class airfare. Mm. And he said he didn't want either. So yeah. He was exploring Oz and he was very happy to do so.
Yeah.
And one of the things you talk about, obviously, is the importance of social activity.
Mm.
People can, in fact, become very lonely as they get older. I think is it the UK that has the Ministry of Loneliness?
I believe so. I know it's been a very prominent issue on the policy agenda in the UK. And loneliness is indeed a problem across a lot of societies, particularly in industrialised nations, I believe. And there was a piece of research that came out a few years ago that was quite influential in that they suggested that being socially disengaged was even more or resulted in an even greater risk to health than smoking, which was a controversial claim, and I'm not sure that everybody adheres to that, but it was a timely finding and just emphasises the importance of having a social network and the fact that as human beings we are fundamentally social creatures and that it's important to maintain those links right throughout life.
And sometimes that's easier than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess looking with it from the travel perspective, one of the things that travel offers is that obviously if you're travelling with friends, you have your network with you. However, even if you're travelling on your own, you need to be more engaged with people just to survive in every task that you do. So with that level of social activity, even just the supportive social activity, would that be working as well?
I definitely think so. Friends that we can rely on are really important for all kinds of reasons, including being there to support us in times of stress or challenge. But even just social interaction is also likely to be important for our well-being because it's a cognitively challenging task, having a conversation with somebody and holding in memory what they're telling you at the same time as you think about what's going to make a sensible response to their questions or their prompts. And so engaging in this kind of cognitively stimulating activity as a part of social interaction is likely to be something that is important in helping to keep us mentally fit.
I hadn't actually even thought of that. But of course, there is a skill in holding a conversation.
Yep. And there's research to suggest that even engaging in a short social interaction can result in people performing better on cognitive tests immediately afterwards. So it's a fascinating area.
I suppose the cylinders have been warmed up.
Well, that's the idea. Yeah, exactly. It primes the pump, as they say.
I like it. And then, so we're looking at social activity, but also so purpose. How would you see the purpose of? Because one of the things I talk about with travel is that, from a travel perspective, it's one of the few dreams we can have in our life where we have a fair chance of nailing that dream. Mm. It can come true. So how do you see travel and that sense of purpose and perhaps also morphing into perceived control?
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned before, I think as many people develop through their middle adulthood years, they're often their lives are often taken up with a lot of work-related responsibilities, child-rearing responsibilities. As people move into retirement and get older, they will often have more discretionary time on their hands, and it opens up that possibility of pursuing new goals and undertaking activities that are going to provide a kind of intrinsic reward. So that might be difficult while we're spending a lot of time working and a lot of time doing things that are important but don't necessarily have that kind of value as an activity in and of themselves, whereas travel, I think, so often does meet that criterion. It's something that is enjoyable in and of itself, and it involves goals that people can pursue that reinforce a sense of competence. Travel can sometimes be a stressful undertaking, but
I think we all know that sometimes.
Yeah. But being able to manage those stresses and work out what one needs to do to catch the next train or make the next arrangements, and reinforcing one's own sense of competence around those things is likely to help us maintain that feeling that we can effectively engage with the world to achieve the goals that we want to achieve. Yeah, so perceived control is recognised as an important psychological resource, and it links into this idea of competence, the belief that we have the capacity to achieve our goals, essentially, and that we can operate on the external world in a way that enables us to get things done the way that we want to. I think it's easy in a very familiar home environment, as you were touching on before, to have that sort of feeling of competence. But by pushing ourselves outside of those boundaries a little bit and taking on new experience gives us new ways of establishing that sense of the sense that we have the skills to achieve the goals that we want to achieve. And I can see that travel provides an avenue for performing a lot of everyday actions that we might not normally do that reinforce that sense of self-efficacy, or the idea that we are able to exercise effectively with our goals and engage effectively.
So, Tim, one other thing, of course, is that travel is seen as an opportunity to build a new identity as a traveller, that it doesn't matter where you go. It's a case of Sally's always travelling. Mm. So Sally or George develops an identity as a traveller.
Yep.
And that can be a complementary or supplementary identity to their normal one. How do you see that as perhaps beneficial?
Well, it's a way of maintaining a kind of continuity of one's sense of self, I guess. Theorists have talked about how, again, coming back to the notion of retirement, so many people define themselves around their work roles in life, and if they no longer have those work roles, for some people it can be difficult having a clear sense of who they are and what they're about. And I can very much see that for those that really get into travelling, that embrace it in terms of all the planning and the challenges that come along with it, that there can be the opportunity for a new sense of self and new identity that is based around those activities.
Perhaps a sort of as a complementary identity. It doesn't become your sole identity necessarily, but it's another strand to you.
That's right. Yeah, it's another role in life that can be taken on at any time. But again, perhaps has particular relevance to later life when people might have more time to invest
in. They might have the time. And the other thing that's kind of nice about taking on the new identity as a traveller is that for many new identities, say hobbies or pursuits, they require a certain amount of skill, application and training if you're going to get up to any sort of meaningful level.
Yep.
The nice thing about travel is there's no entry requirements.
No.
Can just go in and enjoy it and build it at a relatively simple stage.
Yep.
So the thing is that, of course, as you would well know, people who are retired now can live for 20 plus years.
At least, yes.
Yep. As a retiree.
Yep.
So successful aging is very important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And making the most of those years is critical. I don't think anyone likes the prospect of having extended period at the end of life where one isn't in good health and isn't able to do the things that they want to do. And so by staying active, staying engaged, that's one way that people can try and stay healthy for as long as possible and to make the most of those post-retirement years.
Any other tips as apart from perceived control and purpose and social?
Yeah. I think just staying engaged in activities generally. Travel is one avenue for engagement, but there are many other avenues as well. So,
of course.
I think if people can remain engaged in doing things that are consistent with their values, whether they're values are all about family or about work or about experiencing new things. Growth isn't something that stops when we're younger. It continues right throughout life. So I think staying engaged in those activities that allow us to grow and develop for as long as we can is likely to be a really fundamental part of successful aging.